So we're back to Va'ani Tefillah. A piece is called Hichon Nakras Elokecha, which is a pasuk. Hichon means what? Prepare yourself. Prepare to meet your maker. It's a slightly loose translation, but Hakavana b'kriyashma. Okay, this is Rav Moshe Wolfson. For those who are new to the Sefer, this is Rabbi Moshe Wolfson Shlita, who is the Rav of Munas Yisrael in Borough Park. Was the Mashkiach in Torah Vadas for many years. Then he called him the Mashkiach. And the author of the Sefer Munas Yitecha. So this is the Sefer on Tefillah. I'm using the first edition, and some of the Chevers using the later edition. So in the earlier edition, it's on page 51. In the later edition, it's on page 75. Yashnam, so Hakavana B'Kriyashma. Yashnam Bachrim V'Avreichim. There are young, single B'nai Yeshiva and young married men. V'Af Anashim. About him by Yamim, and they're also old people. You know, we're about to discuss this true for people at all stages of life. Shakasha aleim ma'od likros kriyashma. That they find it very, very difficult to say Shema. Now, it's not so difficult to say the words, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but it's hard to do it in a meaningful way and actually have the kavana. If there's any part of davening where a person really needs to try to focus, it's kriyashma. I made a shir on it last year, one of our sukkah shir, and we spoke about the kavana, that when you say yodke vavke, you have to think how, right, what the way we pronounce it, Adon HaKol, Hashem is the master of all, and the way that it's written, HaYehov HaViyiyah. When you say Elokeinu, you think about Hashem, Baal HaKochos Kulam, Hashem is the master of all strength. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Hay, in the fifth chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, it tells you the kavana that you're supposed to have in general when you say God's name. But the Vilna Gaon said, if you're going to say it anywhere, if there's one part of davening where you need to really know and be mechavin, when I say Shema Yisrael Hashem, I think say the word Hashem, I have to think Hashem, Adon HaKol, right? Adon HaKol, master of everything. Hoya Hashem was, Hova Hashem is, Yiyah Hashem will be. So if there's one part of davening we need to concentrate, it's during Kriyat Shema. So says Rav Wolfson, young people and old people have a hard time concentrating during Kriyat Shema. The Chiddush Erim, the first Ger Rebbe, said that one of the challenges of the Ikvas of the Mashiach of the end of days is going to be the challenge to even say Kriyat Shema. So again, it's not hard to say the six words, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but it's hard to say it in a meaningful way. It's hard to be attentive because our brains are completely destroyed. Our attention span has been completely destroyed by modern society and modern technology. And to be able to understand what it means to be makabel ol nachas shemayim upon oneself is not a pashut thing. Harris Garber was mechave into a Torah from Rav Wolfson the other day. He said to me after shir, he said, I realize that shema is rashi tevos, shin mem ayin is rashi tevos, ol nachas shemayim. I said, very good, that's what Rav Wolfson says. So that's very good, it's a good remez. Shema, right? What is shema? Shema is a moment of ol, of Kabbalah's ol nachas shemayim. Accepting the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. And it's particularly hard in the end of days. That's what the Chiddush Erim said. In the Ikvas of the Mashiach, it's going to be very hard. I always say that's the reason the Ayin and the Dalet of Shema are big, right? Shema has a big Ayin, and Echad has a big Dalet, because Ayin Dalet stands for Ikvas of the Mashiach. Right? The last steps before the coming of Mashiach. It's hard. Saying Shema is hard. Okay? V'asibahu mishum shetzvichim l'chavin, says Rav Wolfson, the reason it's hard is because it requires Kavanah. There are many things that one should be thinking during Kriyat Shema, and we have a hard time controlling our minds and being focused. So first of all, what do the words even mean, Shema Yisrael? So you glance to the left of your old school English translation sitter, Hear, O Israel. Okay, so I haven't learned much about what Shema Yisrael means. Right. What does that mean, Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael. How does the Gemara understand Shema Yisrael? Who's Yisrael in the context of the Gemara? Yeah. Yisrael Saba, Yaakov Avinu. Yisrael, Yaakov. Right. Of course, as Rav Wolfson, our Kavana is that Medaber El Klal Yisrael. We're talking to the Jewish people. We're reminding ourselves, collectively, Jewish people, listen up. Be attentive. Shema doesn't just mean to hear it with your ears, but to process it with your brain, to understand it. Understand Jewish people. V'harei ani Yehudi v'hakavana gam ken elai v'el kol b'nei Yisrael. That if I'm speaking to all of Klal Yisrael, I'm also speaking as the Avodas Pnim explains in a piece, and many other Svarim understand, this is the basic Kavana of Shema. Shema Yisrael, I'm speaking to the Yisrael inside myself. I'm not just speaking, hear, O Israel, listen up, Jewish people. I'm speaking to that part of self that's called Yisrael. The part that Rav Tzadok talks about in so many places. The part that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Dalet says, Afal pi shechata Yisrael, who even when I do averes, I'm still Yisrael. I'm speaking to the depth of my soul. Shema Yisrael, I'm talking to myself, challenging myself to be attentive. V'yeshnam od pshatim b'zeh, there are obviously many other explanations. V'kesh'omrim Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what are we supposed to think? Tzvichim l'chavin shakadosh baruch hu yachid u'miyuchad b'shamayim v'aretz. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem is the one and the only one. Both above and below, Hashem fills all of reality. Hashem Echad. You know what's the abbreviation? The Hashem Echad? No. What is it? The Aleph? The Echad? The something shall Echad, Perusha Hashemu Echad, V'yachid Levado.
Why can't it be the Echad, the Aleph?
Right, the oneness of Echad, maybe. But what does Echad mean? That he is Echad v'yachid levado. Right? Ein od mavado. Not there's no other God besides him, but Hashem is Echad, Hashem is all. Yeah? Oh yeah, the Aleph, it is Aleph, it is Aleph. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, it's Aleph. Oh, yours says Aleph?
Yeah, I was trying to see if it was...
Oh, the Aleph, okay, so they changed it. Okay, yeah, here it just says Dalet Hey Aleph. Okay, so the Aleph, I'm sorry. Sorry to be complicated. The Aleph shall Echad Pirusho Hashem Hu Echad V'yachid Levado. V'ches, what's the ches, right? Aleph ches dalet. The Aleph of Echad is the absolute oneness of Hashem. The ches of Echad Pirusho B'zayin Rakiyim Uvaretz. Ches, what's eight? Eight represents the seven heavens. Zayin Rakiyim plus the earth below. That Hashem fills all of that space. And the dalet, Hainu dalet Kitzvos Mizrach Marav Tzafun Darum. And the Dalet represents the four directions, namely east, west, north, and south. The Hashem Yisbarach Hu B'chol Makom, that God, what, is in all places and fills all space. V'yeshnam Od Kavanos Amukos B'zeh. Of course, there are many deeper Kavanos, but the Pashat Pshat in Echad is already unbelievable. Aleph, Hashem is the only one. Hashem is above, and Hashem is below, and Hashem is in every direction. Ach Zeh Perash HaPashut Da'Kadosh Baruch Hu Echad Yachid Levado. There's many deeper explanations, but this is the simple explanation that Hashem is one in a unique type of oneness. Uveseder ha'olam hu, the mispar echad hu ha'mispar ha'katan biyoser, avalitzel Hashem yisparach mispar echad hu mispar ha'gadol biyoser. It's a beautiful line. Now we think of one as the beginning of something. One is the starting point of something. One is the smallest of numbers. A person who has one wants two, and wants three, and wants four. Person has $1, wants $2. Person has $1 million, wants $2 million. Chazal use such an expression. So we think of one as sort of like, okay, one is like you're just getting started. From Hashem's perspective, one is the biggest number. Because one is the only number. She'in l'malah menu, there's nothing bigger than it. It's the all-encompassing number. It's the oneness of all. She'peirusha echad yachid levado ve'in od. One is where it starts and one is where it ends. Remember Rashi at the beginning of Bereshis? Vayera vayivoker yom echad. Why doesn't it say yom rishon? Like it says sheni shlishi, revi. It should say yom rishon. Why does it say yom echad? Right? So Rashi says because it was the day where there was just echad, there was just Hashem. But if that's the foundation of, so to speak, the building of creation, so that remains true even when it gets covered over by all sorts of other things. So now you have a Yom Sheni, and now there's a Shlishi and a Revi, and there's so much more created. It's all a perception of creation. The foundation remains true. Right?
Right.
It's not that there used to be just Hashem and now there's lots of things. It's still just Hashem. Everything is a reflection of Hashem in this world. So the biggest number of all, the all-encompassing way to view Hashem is to recognize the oneness of Hashem that fills all of reality. Okay, so Rav Wolfson is just giving us some helpful pointers, basics of Kriya Shema, but the basics are not so basic, is the point. To be able to think Echad, to think Aleph, the oneness of Hashem, Ches, Hashem fills the seven heavens above and the earth below, Dalet, Hashem is in all the directions. It's a big deal. Gam tzarech lechavein shetevas Echad mesiras nefesh. What else do we find in that word Echad besides the breakdown of Aleph, Ches, Dalet? Echad means what? Mesiras nefesh. The surrender of one's soul. What does that mean? Kenizkar b'Rishonim v'Azor HaKadosh, as we find in the Rishonim and the Zohar, v'yadua shebehistoria shel klal Yisrael ha'yehudim harbe shemasru es nafshem al kedushas Hashem. How many Jews died, their dying word was Echad. It's a word of Mesiras Nefesh. How many Jews in the moment before they were killed cried out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, Echad. It was their dying words. Excuse me. There were periods of religious oppression, bizmanim shonim, at various points of history. Kigon b'shnos tach v'tat, like the massacres of the year tach v'tat, horrible oppression, terrible massacres and pogroms. Ubizman chorban beis hamikdash, and obviously prior to that was the chorban. Shechrich es yehudim lahamir datam olamus chas v'shalom, where Jews were forced either to convert to foreign faiths, which is not really a possibility, or to die. Va'az hayu meyos alfa yehudim. There were thousands, hundreds and thousands of Jews. Va'yaros shleimos, entire cities. Va'kihilos shleimos. And he's not exaggerating one bit. There were entire kihilos. People had lived as Jews together, and davened as Jews together, and learned as Jews together, and supported one another. Va'kihilos shleimos shal yehudim, bachru maves michaim. They chose death over life. They chose to die rather than to live. Masru nafshim lahariga kadei lo lichbar v'amunas Hashem yisbach. Afilu b'dibar ba'alma. They wouldn't even allow themselves to utter a false word. And their dying breath was Shema Yisrael Hashem lakeinu Hashem echad. V'afal pisha yibiyadim lo mar la goyim b'peh shehim ma'aminim b'avodazaru v'libam lachshov she'enim ma'aminim ela b'Hashem levado. They could have faked it. They could have said, okay, yes, we believe in your God. And in their hearts maintained their faith. But they didn't want heresy to pass over their lips, let alone to enter their mind or their hearts. Afilu hachi lo asu came, v'lo kafru b'Kadosh Baruch Hu afilu b'peh. They wouldn't even surrender their lips. It's interesting, Kabbalistically, in this 10 spheros, which part is the peh? Which of the spheros corresponds to the... Each sphere has a corresponding body part. So which part of your body is chesed? Your right arm. Your right arm. And your gvura is your left arm. Tiferes? Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. Tiferes is the torso, the trunk of the body. Okay, Netzach and Hod are the right and left leg. Typically, Netzach is the right, Hod is the left, but they're somewhat interchangeable. Yesod is the Bris Milah, Os Bris Kodesh. Malchus, the tenth and lowest of the spheros, right, it says, you open up a Nusach Svar Tzidr to the first couple of pages, it says, a passage from Tikkuni Zohar, it says, Malchus is Keneged Peh. Malchus is Keneged Peh. I'm just realizing now, reading this piece, so why is it that there were Jews throughout history who didn't want that their Peh should even pretend to believe in Christianity, while in their hearts they maintain their Judaism? Why wouldn't they say they could have saved their lives? So fake it. Just say, okay, fine, I'll convert to another religion. They could have faked it. Could have been all external. Why wouldn't they allow their peh to speak something that they didn't believe? And the answer is because if peh is connected malchus, if peh is connected the sphere of malchus, well, Kabbalah is all malchus shemayim. Shema is a verbal declaration. Whole discussion in the Mishnayos, right? Hishama la shema. One opinion in the Tanaim and the Mishnayos is hishama la oznecha mashat al motzi mipicha. You have to hear with your ears what you're saying from your mouth. It has to be a loud verbal declaration, loud enough to hear it. So therefore, they didn't want, right? Again, I don't think this is the kavanah of every Jew, Dat al Kiddush Hashem, but it helps us to understand. Why were people scared to... So just say something not true. No, because my peh is the place of malchus. And therefore, they'd rather die and God forbid even say something that wasn't true. Ela masur atzrim lemisa. Now we understand it more deeply. Why can't I just say it? Just say it. Say something. Your heart, isn't the heart the main thing? But if the peh is the place, if the purpose of our mouth is to be able to declare Malchus Hashem in the world, so to say, I believe in Yashka is not something a Jew can say, even to save his life. Afal pisha, libo balimo, even if his heart is not in it. Okay, turn to the other side of the sheet. Ubilvad. Says Rav Wolfson, let's just learn the halacha. Sometimes you could say something, right, which could be understood in one of two ways. Yeah. Like when Yaakov says, you know, Esav is your firstborn, right? And he's really tricking Yitzchak to think that he's saying, I am Esav, right? He's saying, I am who I am, and Esav happens to be your firstborn, as he's stealing the brachos, right? So that's not an outright lie. So sometimes a person, says Rav Wolfson, could be in a situation where he could say, a lishna d'mashma litrein anpin. What does he mean by that? An expression that's mishtama, that could be understood in two different ways. Meaning, say something where the person who is threatening your life will think that you're talking about his God, when really the words themselves could be more neutral and understood as talking about your God, Hashem. So even though the halacha says you're actually allowed to do that, if the guy is going to mistakenly think you're talking about Avodah Zarah and you're actually talking about Hashem, as it says in the Sefer Torah Chaim on Maseches Avodah Zarah, Shehaisa pam gezeira bedinas Deutschland. There was once a gezeira in Deutschland. They were taking Jews. I think Deutschland means Germany, no? Yeah. Taking Jews and killing them if they wouldn't surrender the religion. So one time a guy came to a Jew and he said, are you a Jew? So the Chacham said back to him, Kain Yuda, Shavalashon Deutsch Mashmal Ein Yehudi. Right? Kain Yuda, I guess, meant I'm not a Jew. Achuki, right? But he was thinking Kain, Od Yehudi. Yes, I'm still a Jew. Right? So he tricked him and he saved his life. He was thinking Lashon HaKodesh, right? Kain. So this German thought he was saying, I'm not a Jew. And he was really saying, Kain, of course I'm a Jew. Of course I'm a proud Jew. Lashon HaKodesh, Hainu Emes Yehudi Ani. And even though by the letter of the law this is permissible, that's not my problem, you're going to misinterpret my words, right? but the words have to still be at least emes lefi shitascha. But to say something that is heretical, even if your heart doesn't mean it, asur lomar b'chol ofen, you're not allowed to do that. A Jew can't say heretical things. The peh can't be used for heretical speech. Better a person should die. So therefore, what's the kavan when a Jew says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? He has to think about the fact that there were Jews who said, rather than to allow falsehood to cross my lips, I'd rather take the bullet and my last word is Echad. Echad, I declare the oneness of Hashem in my dying breath. Throughout various periods of Jewish history, there were millions of Jews who have given their life. Bisvarad, in Spain, Shahaisa Inquisitia, during the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, Vechemba, Portugal, Uvingalia, so many places throughout history at different points. So when a Jew says Shema, he needs to think to himself, am I prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice for Hashem? As the Rishonim and the Mishnah Berurah even bring, Shetzorach lechavin harini muchan limsur nafshi lahariga. To ask yourself on a daily basis, would I be prepared to make that sacrifice? Am I deeply connected to my Yiddishkeit? That for nothing in the world would I trade it away. If it meant giving up my life, I'd be prepared to do it. V'lo lachbor chas v'shalom b'Hashem elokeinu Hashem echad. שזה הקוסף אהבת את השם אלוקיך בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מלדך. אז חזל explain, בכל נפשך אפילו הוא נוטלס נפשך. Even if what? Even if you have to give up your life, you have to give up your soul. ועומד להרגך, אתה בחייב לאהוב את השם יסבח, ואהבת, I love השם no matter what. No matter what happens. What's the gematria of ahavta? I'll tell you a remez from Menachem Mendel of Shklov, which in this context will make a little more sense to us. What's the gematria of ahavta? He says a very interesting remez. You might be surprised at this remez. Vahavta. How much do I love Hashem? Even the first one on the list is what? Even what? B'chol levavcha. Secondly, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol modecha. I love God with all my heart. I'm even prepared to give up my soul. So what's the gematria of vahavta? How much? 414. So Menachem Mendel of Shklov said the following. He's one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. Or a Talmud of the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So Menachem Mendel Shklover says there are two main religions that try to take us away from Hashem. The two main religions that try to, they claim to replace Yiddishkeit. Right? Christianity and Islam. Each with a mutually exclusive claim that Hashem replaced us with them. Okay? And what are the names of the two leaders of Christianity and Islam? So, yeah, you have it in the notes, man. You pulled it up from something old. I remember it, yeah? So what is it? So Yeshu, Yashka, Yeshu, Yud Shin Vav. So what's Yud Shin Vav? How much is Yud Shin Vav?
316.
Okay? And the name of the founder of Islam is Muhammad. But in Hebrew, right, to say it a little more Arabic sound, Mechumad. So the Ches, Mechumad. It's the Gematria of Mechumad. How much? 98. Okay? So says Rav Menachem Mendel of Shklov, very good. Rav Menachem Mendel Shklover says that Yeshu plus Muhammad, Mechumad, is Gematria of Ahavta. Interesting remez. What's the idea? Different ways you could say it. In the context of what we're learning this morning, right, how many millions of Jews have been killed for being Jews at the hands of Christians or at the hands of Muslims? How many Jews, Rahman al-Litzan, died yesterday for being Jews, the crime of being Jews? That was their entire crime. That was the only thing they did wrong. They were born Jewish. So Vahafta is a bold statement. Vahafta is a serious thing. Do I love Hashem? Would I be prepared to give it up because it's worth it? Is Vahafta with great love to give up my life? Lohudiyu lefarsim shehu elokeinu Hashem echad. Am I prepared to make that ultimate sacrifice? And again, many Jews throughout history have been forced at the hands of Christian or Islamic oppressors to make that choice. Okay, and that's something that we have to think about every time we say that word echad. How many Jews, literally their dying word was echad? It's not a small kavanah to have in mind. Uvechol hazmanim in the next paragraph. Uvechol hazmanim uvechol makom eifo shahayu yehudim shenergu beglal yahadusam. In all the places that Jews have died for their Judaism, elu hayu hamilim haachronos shal yehudim haneragim. These were the final words of Jews. Vanisrafim, Jews who were killed, the Jews who were burnt in fires. Shetzaku shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shezeu apasuk shetzrichim lachavin bo mesiras nefesh. How many Jews also not dying al kiddush Hashem, just dying, who were blessed with the wherewithal to realize that it was their final moments of life? Right? This is what a Jew says. This is the first thing you teach your child when he comes into the world, and this is the last thing a person says when he goes out of this world. Again, if he's blessed with the mindfulness to say to Mekabel Omach HaShemayim in his dying moments. Rabbi Akiva, Yatza Nishmaso Be'echad, the famous Gemara, the painful Gemara. Rabbi Akiva dying at the hands of the Romans. When a person dies, especially if he dies for being a Jew, his Yiddishkeit is the essence of his existence, and he dies as a Jew, that's mechaper on everything. Death as a Jew is mechaper on everything. As the Gemara says in Meseches Yoma, sheyesh arba chiluke kapara, there are four divisions of kapara, shem over al mitzvah saseh v'shav. If you violate a mitzvah saseh, meaning you failed to do a positive commandment, and you did tshuva, v'shav b'tshuva, Eino zaz misham ad shemochen lo. He doesn't zaz. He doesn't leave that. He doesn't move, literally move. He doesn't move from that place until he's been forgiven. So if you miss the positive mitzvah, do tshuva and you're forgiven right away. Over alosa sevasa tshuva. If you did a losa say and you did tshuva, so tshuva removes the stain only so much. Tshuva tole. V'yom kippur mechaper. Tshuva gets you part of the way and Yom Kippur scrubs you completely clean. Over al krisos umisos basin, you did something that you're chayiv kares for. You ate chametz on Pesach. You violated Shabbos intentionally. You slept with an isha nida. Over al krisos umisos basin, v'asa tshuva. Tshuva v'yom kippurim tolin. Tshuva plus Yom Kippur gets you most of the way. V'yesurim marken, and you need suffering, yesurim afflictions, in order to what? To be completely scrubbed clean. But if a person has chil Hashem, the opposite of Kabbalah Sol Machus Shemayim, Kvot Shemayim, the opposite of spreading the word of God in the world, when a person, God forbid, creates a chilul, what does a chilul mean? A void, literally a void, right? Chalal means an empty space. When you've created a void in the world, a place where God's presence is not found, through your actions, through your speech, or even through your thoughts, so how does a person do tshuva for such a thing? Ein koach lo b'tshuva v'lo yom kippurim l'chaper v'lo yisurin l'marek, top of the left-hand side. Ela kulan tolen u'misa m'marekes. They're all left-hanging, and misa scrubs a person clean. V'zeh shemechuvan mesiras, right? This is the idea of mesiras nefesh. Ba'omer shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Nechshav lo ki'ilu masar afnasho b'pol mamish k'di'isim asfar makadoshim. So chaver, you don't have to wait till you're on your deathbed to fix your chil Hashem. Where Wolfson's teaching us an amazing thing. People think, oh, if I have Chil Hashem, the only way I can actually get rid of that is actual death. Or saying a very heartfelt Shema every day and thinking to yourself as you say Shema, as the post can bring Lahalacha. Think, as I say Shema, I would be prepared, Hashem, to give my life for you. So what does the Gemara say? A person who is prepared to do a mitzvah and doesn't, right? Baruch Hashem, no one wants to actually die right now, right? But a person who says, I would be prepared to do this mitzvah, and against his will, he doesn't do it, because he's not going to kill himself. And thankfully, he's living in a place where the Gentile oppressors are not trying to kill him. Right? Baruch Hashem. But the fact that he's willing to die al Kiddush Hashem, that itself is what? Ki'ilu, he died. And in the race is the biggest of error, which is Chil Hashem. That's correct. That's correct. The Noam Elimelech says in the Tzitl Katan, the small pamphlet, the small note, his list of things to practice in Avodas Hashem. One of them is when a person's lying in his bed and he's, you know, just trying to fall asleep and his mind is just wandering, he should meditate on the willingness to dial Kiddush Hashem. He should meditate on V'nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, and he should ask himself, he should picture a raging fire in front of himself and be prepared to fall into that fire. Or you could count sheep. That's the other option if you're lying in bed at night. It's not going to help you fall asleep to picture yourself falling into a raging fire. Or maybe it will, I don't know. Okay, but lav dafka, I don't know that Noam Elimelech says it in the context of trying to put yourself to sleep. For a person who has sleep issues, I don't know if that's the best advice. But again, over the course of the day, I should spend a few moments thinking, would I be prepared to give my life for Hashem right now?
What if the
answer is
no?
What if the answer is no? What if the answer is no? I don't know, then we have to work on our... We have to work on digging deeper into ourselves. Because the pashtus is, ever since Avram threw himself into that furnace, right, three tzaddikim all said the same thing. From the time Avram threw himself into that furnace, Jews have a willingness to die al Kiddush Hashem. You may not think so until you're in that situation. God forbid you should never be in that situation. Right? But push comes to shove, it seems that historically the Jewish people have risen to the occasion. Where do they get that strength? Part of our spiritual Yerusha from Avram Avinu. Which three tzaddikim all say that point? Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah of Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. He's called Avram Avinu because he passed on his spiritual DNA to us. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Ruach Chaim says it. The Baal Tanya says it in Tanya chapter 18, that Jews are willing to die al Kiddush Hashem. It's a wonderment that Jews can die al Kiddush Hashem. Where do we get that strength from? Even Jews who are not so religious are prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice, push comes to shove. And the third person who says it that I know of is the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Yisro. All three of those tzaddikim say, a Jew is prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice. And it's rooted in our tradition that Avram began his journey by prepared to give it all up for God. Avamishi Yesh Chafayim, so that's the power of Chilul Hashem. And that's the power of Kiddush Hashem. And that's the power of Kriya Shema to fix that. V'keivan shekeinu mechaper afila alvonos hachamurim. So a real heartfelt Shema can erase even the biggest of eras, biyoser, the biggest of eras of all. Afila alvon chil Hashem, even the biggest of era of creating a void of godliness in the world. V'kol shekeinu al chatoim acherim. V'mihai taim azoa kimanu b'tfilas ni'ila. So what do we do in the closing moments of Yom Kippur? We scream out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And we cleanse ourselves completely, because if I say Shema every day in a whisper, partially because of what Yehuda just said, very honestly, I don't feel that I'm ready to say it out loud. I don't feel it's honest. I'm not Rabbi Akiva having his flesh combed off by the Romans. I'm not a Jew being thrown into a gas chamber, Rahmana Litzlan. I don't feel that I've reached that level of connection that I could say it and mean it, but on Yom Kippur I can. So Yom Kippur, I scream it out in the closing moments of Ne'ilah. I'm accepting upon myself, yes, in this moment it's clear to me that I would make that sacrifice. V'zeu gemar ha-kapara shal Yom HaKippur. This is the closing, cleansing moment of Yom Kippur. Shezeu machaper afilu al osan ha-averos she'en Yom HaKippur machaper. And that will erase even those averos that Yom Kippur on its own would not be able to erase. Again, Shema is a microcosm of a Jew dying on Kiddush Hashem. And that's the ultimate cleanser according to the Gemara in Yom. Okay, final paragraph for today. These are kavanos that, again, it's not just enough, it's not a checklist of things to roll through as you say Shema, but it's things to really meditate upon. Shema, to understand deeply. Not just to accustom my brain. These are the things I'm supposed to think when I get to these words. Uvali hergish, without any feeling or emotion. Uvovizman lachshov gam yishtusim ve'avalim. While at the same time thinking all sorts of silliness. I caught myself saying Shema very poorly today. My mind was wandering, like, in the middle of Shema, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe. It's a moment, and that's why, again, going back to what we started with, what Wilson says, that's why people struggle to have Kavanah and Shema. This is a really, very real moment. Okay, so don't just run through a checklist of, I said Hashem's name, so I don't call Hayahoviyah. Think about that. Hayahoviyah. Hashem was, Hashem is, and Hashem always will be. Think about that. Get chizuk from that. Deepen your actual belief in that. It's not just something you roll through as you're mumbling through the words. So therefore it's hard for people to say Kriya Shema. They know what they're supposed to do. If you don't have Kavanah for what you're saying, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. And just knowing that I'm supposed to be thinking all these things sometimes gives a person a certain anxiety that he's not able to do it. It's too much pressure. To be mechaving all these things, a person panics. And therefore it's hard for people to say Shema. So hopefully next time, Rav Wolfson will give us some advice about how to work on this. But again, these are some of the kavanos that we want to have. And the goal is not to quickly pass over these ideas, but the goal is to say Shema in a meditative way. Where I'm really being makabel upon it, I'm challenging myself to ask myself that question. Would I die for Hashem? Would I give up everything for Hashem? Is Hashem the only echad in my life, or do I have other things that I feel are dictating the success or failure of my life? Do I believe that Hashem is not only in the Zion Rakim above, but in Ches, in the eighth dimension of this world below? Do I picture Hashem in all the directions, filling the whole world? Or do I think that Hashem is only found in the Beis Medrash, and I have a hard time imagining that Hashem is found in some African jungle? Hashem is everywhere. Hashem's presence fills all, whether we recognize it or not. So that's what we're trying to meditate on when we say Shema. Okay, hopefully this will help us to be better reciters of Shema. Okay?